Hi, girly.
Hi.
How's your week been?
It's been okay.
Has it?
It's the gloomiest day it's ever been, but that's okay because we had like 7 days of sunshine.
It was disgusting today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. How many guys do you think you've dated or went on dates with?
Oh, boy.
Like a lot.
A lot. Yeah, not as many as some people. Enough.
Yeah, it's fair to say that we have a pretty decent amount of experience. Not necessarily because we've dated a lot of people, but we also meet a lot of people in general because of just the way our work is and our lives are. We run into a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's...
we've developed our own focus group.
We have. And because of that, I think we've become pretty decent at reading people.
Yes.
Pretty decent at picking up certain red flags. For our listeners who don't know, once a week we do a live. And our live is geared towards relationships. The heading we have is tell us your relationship problems and we'll attempt to solve it, or at least, you know, assist you with coming up with a solution. And so all of that got me thinking about red flags, because there are some interesting stuff that comes up during our lives.
Yes. And a lot of the things that come up, we've made a generalization about this already, because we've encountered this issue 5 or 6 times.
Yep.
And this is what usually that means.
That's actually a good point, because there seems to be generally a handful of the same stuff that keeps popping up.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Everyone's got the same problems.
We all have the same issues. That says so much, doesn't it?
I know.
Like, we all go through the same shit.
Yeah.
But then that started making me think about what are some red flags for me. Mm-hmm. But before we dive into that, I want to know what your definition of a red flag is.
A red flag to me is, it's an indicator that tells you there's something about this person that may end up horrible.
It's an indicator that can lead to something negative. So the red flag itself, because when you say red flag, right, when we've labeled these qualities or these behaviors as red flag, right away red to me is like a negative, dun dun dun, mm-hmm. like beware, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that particular thing is bad, but what you're saying is it's an indicator of something bad in the future.
Precisely.
Interesting. Okay. I probably would agree with you. I think red flags are little signs, but they don't necessarily mean that that particular sign is something bad.
Or that that person is bad. It's just that it's a sign that that person may be bad in a relationship.
I'm so glad you said that, because I really dislike when people associate, quote unquote, these red flags with the person being bad. I really don't like labeling people like that. I'm like, categorizing them as that, because your red flag is different than my red flag. And so it just means they weren't the right person for you. Okay. I want to get into some of our red flags, because I think they're going to be interesting and I think they're going to be very different.
Yes. If we know one thing for sure, is that we have vastly different red flags. Yes. But I'm sure we'll find some common ground
here. Yeah. We're not going to go into like the typical, if he ignores you for 3 days, if he ghosts you, if she has a lot of guy friends, if he has a lot of girlfriends. We're not going to go into those. Are the basics. We know those.
We're going to the advanced level.
Yeah. This is red flag 2.0 edition. Now, here's the thing. I do think some of the things we're going to talk about apply to both men and women. So originally we were going to title this like red flag men edition, but I think we should just do red flag 2.0.
Yeah.
Because this is a step up.
Yeah, it's your taste in people and what you want in a relationship. Yeah. It's a red flag for things that could go awry in relationships.
And we think some of these red flags says a lot about
a person
and their character. So we're going to dive into it. Okay. So my first one is, when they bring up their salary within like the first date.
Yeah, I can see how that says a lot about a person.
It's just like, what? First, it is so tacky to discuss finances.
Yeah.
To that extent on a first date. Just, I think like in general, it's tacky to talk about money. But also, why are you telling me about your salary? Especially if it's not ridiculously high.
It's almost as if he thinks his worth is attached to his salary. Yeah. And if your salary is the best thing you got going on as mm-hmm. a person, that's a red flag.
Yeah. And, you know, it might not even be the best thing that they have going on, but because that's what they associate it with, they associate, you said it perfectly, they associate their worth, the value they bring to the relationship with money. And so for me, that just kind of really summarizes what kind of partner they're going to be. I can foresee that being a very transactional relationship. I can foresee that as being a very controlling relationship. And I could see that as being the person, whether it's woman or man, being very dismissive to emotional needs because they think, well, this is your allowance and leave me alone.
And the reason a person would do all of those things and behave that way, it comes back to the fact that they would be insecure yeah. about themselves. So really it's, and I think we're going to bring this word up quite a bit today. A lot of these things are going to be indicators that a person's insecure. Mm-hmm. And insecurity is a red flag in a person, specifically in relation to another person. When you have to be in a relationship with someone who's insecure, there's going to be a lot of difficulties.
It's a tricky one because I've heard women bring up the salary specifically on first dates, not that they talk about their own salary, but they ask the man, how much money do you make? Because they want to know the man can provide for them. I want to be clear. It's very different if you're asking. I think if you're the one yeah. to ask yeah. information and they're comfortable enough sharing that.
Yeah.
Also, the way they share it is important. Like if they're like douchey about it, like mm-hmm. go away. But if they're, you know, classy about it, if you're asking, it's okay. But if they're just continuously throwing, I briefly went on a couple dates with this guy and he was very open about his finances. This was the funny part. His finances weren't that great. Mm-hmm. And I don't talk about what I do, my money. I don't talk about any of that. So when people show off about what they have, why are you, I didn't understand it.
I think people who have a particular interest in money,
their relationship,
the subject of money, they're, yeah, right. that can still be a red flag.
Right.
A relationship to money can be yes. unhealthy.
Yes. And I think that's where the red flag comes in for me.
Yeah.
I think when someone talks about money on a first date, it really exemplifies the relationship they have with money. And it is something important you need to discuss, but maybe not the first 5 minutes. Okay. So that was my first one. What's your number one red flag?
Okay, we're going a little unconventional here with this one.
Okay.
So my first red flag, and just for the listeners, this isn't the first thing I think about when I go on a date. It's just the first thing I listed out, okay? When I was recalling attributes and details about my exes, this is one of the things that I thought about. Lives on the 14th floor or below, and this is important, in a 30 plus story building, because if it's a 15th floor building, I mean, I'm not going to, you know.
Well, that's the top of the building. That's yeah, the highest. Yeah. yeah.
In a 30 plus story building. Okay.
Okay. I have so many questions.
Now, I know what you're yeah. thinking. Okay. This is not a classist
no.
statement. This is not, I'm not going there.
Where are you going with
it? I understand that, you know, in order to get to the top levels, you probably have to make a little bit more money, but also not because no. I think even on the 20th floor, it's yeah. the same price as
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
Two things come out of this for me. I think if a person chose a floor 14 and below, they were grabbing the first thing they could get, the first thing that was available. not only that detail, but I'm also going to talk about elevators for a minute, because let's just say that they didn't have the patience. This is the key word here. Mm-hmm. The patience to wait for a better view apartment on one of the upper floors. Not right. the penthouse, just a little bit of, let's say they didn't have that patience. Speaks to the patience. Also could speak to the patience if they prefer an apartment on floors 14 and below because of the elevator situation. I know a lot of guys that are like this. They hate waiting for the elevators.
Right.
And it speaks to their level of impatience. If they don't have the patience mm-hmm. to move through day-to-day life in condo living, waiting for that elevator, and they would prefer to have a shorter trip up and down, red flag for patience.
Okay.
I'm also going to say that this also says a lot about their awareness of being robbed. Now,
of being robbed.
Yeah.
Because
I think it's a well-known fact that the floors on the lower levels are most likely to get robbed.
I had no idea.
It's one of the well-known facts.
Oh, okay.
About I had no idea. You know, and especially the first floor, obviously. But
okay.
Yeah, you're more likely to get robbed on those because it's just easier access.
Okay.
This speaks to the patience of a person.
Okay.
Both in obtaining the apartment and then also in the process of the okay. elevators.
That is something, I gotta say, that is something that has never crossed my mind.
Well, you know, listen, as someone who's dated a couple people.
In condos
on floors 15 and below.
Have I dated anyone?
And then also
condos?
A couple people on floors 15 and above.
Okay, it certainly says something about them. I dated one guy in a high-rise building. But I think it was a 25 story building and he was number 24.
Mm-hmm. What was his patience like?
Very patient.
There you go.
But his career had to be like he,
right.
But he was the only person I did in a condo.
Okay. Well,
interesting.
Yeah. Says a lot about a person.
So now that's going to pop. Like if I date anyone in a condo, I'm going to be like, so what floor do you live on?
Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna look at you like you're judging me, but listen, you're not judging them for the reason they think you are.
But if it has to be 30 plus,
yeah, I mean, otherwise okay. it doesn't really make sense.
Okay,
yeah,
interesting. Okay, that's a really quirky one, isn't it? Like it's really yeah. random. Okay, one of my other ones would be when they continuously repeat the same story over and over and over again.
Oh, could they be any more disengaged from the relationship? They don't even know that they've told this story to you or around you.
Thank you.
This many times. Yes. The level of unthoughtfulness
yeah.
that it takes. I'm trying to picture myself doing this. If I have a partner that I love, and I'm bringing them to multiple friend gatherings. And I'm telling the same story of how, let's say, my car got broken into. The first thing I'm going to do is turn to my partner and be like, I know I've told this story
yeah.
in front of you so many times. He's probably so bored of it. I acknowledge my partner because they are always on my mind. They're yeah. always at the top of my mind.
Yeah. Like, how do you not remember that you've said this story to yeah. me? Now, here's the thing. I can appreciate, as you said, I can appreciate if there's something that's a really big deal to you and you're just really excited. So you just happen to repeat it a couple times and you follow it up with, or prior to saying it, you say, I know I've said this so many times, but I'm, you know, this happened. I still can't believe it. And I'm still hashing it out, whatever. But you've acknowledged that you've had the conversation with them. But girl, let me tell you, sometimes I've been in situations where the guys I was dating, they've repeated word for word.
Yeah.
And the way, even the way it starts, even the way that conversation is yeah. Like the other day, I went into this coffee shop and I'm like, yeah, I know. We had a full 10, 15, 20 minute conversation about it. Now, okay. I can understand that some people's memory is like a little bit jaded. Yeah. So maybe I can excuse like repeating it a second time. But when you are now on your third or fourth time of repeating the story and you don't recollect that you don't recollect my reaction to you.
Huge. Huge point.
I can't.
There's no excuses.
I can't. So reasons why, red flags, right? What we just said, like the unthoughtfulness, the fact that clearly you're having this conversation with multiple people. I share such little information with people around me that I know who I've spoken to.
Exactly. Like, exactly. So at that point, you're just a person that likes to hear yourself talk.
Yes.
If you're that
yes.
disengaged with
yeah.
how many times you've told this story to
who I'm not special to you. Yeah. I'm not special to you. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. You're just yeah. sharing for the sake of sharing, not because you want to share something with me and for us to have a fun or constructive or important conversation about it. So, and then absolutely. Also, girl, what does this say like 10 years down the line? Imagine, oh, yeah. imagine this human being is repeating the same story, or I have to continuously remind them of things because let's say they are forgetful.
At that point, you don't. And that's the marriage it turns into, right? And you just start ignoring each other. And
yeah.
who wants that?
Yeah.
So there you go. Red flag. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
You do not want to be in that marriage.
No.
All right. My second red flag.
Tell us.
If you're super passionate about something, but you don't provide a real explanation as to why.
Love that. You essentially, you're so opinionated. You have these like extreme thoughts and views and perspective, but you don't have reasons. You have yeah. no validity. There's you can't back up your argument.
Yeah. So on a grander scale, you can easily identify this, right? Like if mm-hmm. someone's coming out and they're talking about political opinions or whatever, and then you ask them specifics about, oh, but why do you feel like that? Obviously, that's very easy to do.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you some like smaller situations that I've encountered before that I dismissed because I just filled in the blanks for them because I loved them so much. And I thought, well, you know, he's probably just complicated and, you know, so this is something, again, a little unconventional of an example. And I wouldn't say it fits into this passionate category, but I once asked a guy I was dating if he would make sushi with me.
Mm-hmm.
And right away he was like, no.
Like homemade sushi.
Yeah.
Cute.
Let's stay in. Let's make sushi. He was right away. No. And I said, oh, but okay, well, like, don't you want to, like, wouldn't it be fun? No. I said, okay, well, but, and then I had to pry. I had to pry for more information. I was like, why? He's like, I just don't want to make it. It's not something I want to make. And I walked away thinking he probably just prefers sushi from a restaurant. Like, sushi's hard to make and... You know, like that was the
filling the gap.
I was filling the gaps for him. And I didn't realize it until much, much later when I realized how enthusiastic a person he was to do lots of things with anyone else but me.
Right.
And so I realized this is like an indication of something of a much larger scale in that regard. But then also... I think he also didn't mean to not give me an explanation. What I think was happening is he just had simply no self-awareness over why I wanted to make sushi with him, right? That bonding experience, just having a fun night. And I think this speaks to a lot of the things that if someone is passionate about something for one reason or they're not passionate about doing something, if they can't provide an explanation as to why, that really just speaks to their level of self-awareness.
Yeah, I would agree with you. As you were saying that story, I was trying to see if I had experienced things similar to that. And I think, first of all, I know that story and I know who it was with. And now looking back on it, in hindsight, we can understand why. But in that moment, I think it's fair that, you know, you're just kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. And you also don't want to be the person who starts a World War III over why don't we make sushi at home.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. It is a red flag, because if someone's response is so extreme and so opinionated and so firm, you would think, you would hope they have some kind of reasoning behind it, right?
Yeah.
Even if the reasoning is awkward, is quirky, is whatever, it could even be as simple as, babe, honestly, it's just such a messy thing. I don't want to be asked. Like,
and so I'll use myself as an example in this, because I'm a very quirky person and I've got a lot of issues. So if someone first starts dating me, like I'm just an uncomfortable person around.
You're really selling yourself.
Around eating out.
Folks, she is single and she is amazing. So just don't listen to her, please.
Start to sell myself here. Just be warning. I don't like to eat out.
Right.
It's always been uncomfortable. And I have lots of reasons why. I'm very transparent about them. If you ask me, I'll tell you all of the reasons why. I'm just not going to go into them all. You can do that another day. But I'm not afraid to talk about it. So not only am I self-aware about my reasoning, but I'm also empathetic toward not making the other person feel unwanted, because I know what that feels like. And I want them to know that the reason I'm declining going out to eat is not because I just don't want to eat with them or because I'm a person that will never want to eat out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right now, it's just not something that makes me comfortable in the early stages of dating. And I like to explain that all. And you would hope that someone would understand those things.
Yeah.
And so what that also says about me is that I bring confidence and security into this, because I'm basically telling the person, like, hey, if you just have some patience with me and if I'm in a comfortable relationship, I will open up about these things. I know myself. I will get comfortable eating out with you.
Right. It just takes a little bit of time.
It just takes a little bit of time. So that speaks to how well I know myself and how willing I am to be vulnerable with the other person and to say, like, you know what I mean?
Can I just say, she does eat with me. So.
Yeah. Our little poutine adventures and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think I wasn't trying to like boost myself up, but I'm just explaining that, like, these kinds of things can say a lot about a person.
Oh, it can be something as small as what you said. Can we do this at home? Or I've been in situations where I'm like, hey, can we try this event? And it's absolutely not. I would never go. Why not? No, I would never go. OK, but why? And I mean, I don't know. Maybe it stems from the way they were raised. Maybe it's how parents talk to their kids, and then that's how we become adults, and then adults talk to other adults this way. But it's like, I would rather, as you said, it's an opportunity to get to know each other a little bit. And hey, if it's the beginning of dating, the stages of dating, and you tell me you don't like something, and then you explain it to me, and if it doesn't work for me, guess what? We can now be like, oh, this is something that I really like doing and you don't like doing for those reasons, and it won't work.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my red flags, another one, would be when they're hung up on their glory high school days and when they're much older.
Yeah.
So you talk to a guy, like, he's in his 30s, to be honest, even your late 20s. Anything past that point, you shouldn't be continuously talking about high school.
Yeah. And okay, I think we should clarify this as well, because I totally agree with this. But when we talk about our red flags, these are things that are coming up in those first few dates.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is an example of something that, like, you're first dating a guy and he's already bringing up his high school days.
Yes.
Now, I am a person who fully admits that the best years of my life were back in college.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only going to come up in conversation, I don't know, 6 months, a year into knowing someone, and then we're listening to some music that we listened to 15 years ago or however long. I'm not going to date myself. And it just comes up organically in the conversation. And
right.
Yeah, it's hard to say there's any better time in life than college. You know, like that was an amazing time for various reasons. So it's okay to look back. It's okay to, you know, talk about things and like, those were really good days. but
that's different to what we're talking different. About.
Yes.
Because what I'm talking about is like that guy or that girl where their high point of life was high school. And since then they just haven't done anything since.
Yeah.
They don't have any accomplishments, any goals, any anything that surpassed that high school, those high school years.
Yeah.
And for me, generally, my experience with people like that has been they're hung up on it.
Yeah.
They got a chip on their shoulder and they're hung up on it.
The chip on the shoulder.
Continuously talk about it. I did this when I was in high. It's like, yeah, that was 15 years ago. Yeah. What have you done since?
Not even what have you done since, but what have you been excited about since? You're telling me that you haven't been excited about or been happy doing anything else.
But that generally comes from what you've done. Because like if you are excited about traveling, if you are excited about sports, let's say you were a quarterback in high school. So what have you done to continue that since? Yeah. Right? And if you're hung up on that and you're bragging about it 15 years later, that's concerning to me.
A person that you are dating, you should want them to be excited about the future with you. And generally, people that are excited about potential future with you are people that are forward thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone is constantly only thinking of the past, that's a red flag about how they are going to be looking at you and your life together. You should want someone who's excited about the future.
Maybe them kind of continuously bringing up their high school days is more about them being the type of personality that is just hung up on the past. And that's just kind of their pattern and their behavior where they're always going to look back, not forward.
That's great one. Yeah. Great. All right. My next flag is controversial. I think it is somewhat controversial. Some people are going to take offense to this.
Okay. What are we going to take offense to?
That they want kids more than they want you. I'm sure you're familiar with Pookie and Jet.
Mm-hmm.
They are our social media couple of the year. And the reason I believe they rose to TikTok fame is because it's kind of like the Taylor and Travis effect. We're seeing in front of us this example of a man who loves his partner. And he praises her in the smallest ways that he talks about her.
He worships her.
He loves her.
Yeah.
Now they're having a baby together. They actually just announced their pregnancy.
Yeah.
But he is a person, and we can make this assumption about him. He is a person that will always love his wife first. She's first and foremost. And he will love his kids endlessly, I'm sure. And like unconditionally. But his wife is a priority and her happiness and how much he loves her. I've encountered many men just personally who want to have kids a lot. Like that is their priority. And it's not necessarily outright that they look at me like just a baby maker. But I can see it in the little details of the way that they look forward to having kids and the lack of admiration that they have for me, that same kind of, I would say, unconditional love.
Right. And so they look at Cynthia as the mom of my kids and not necessarily my love, my wife, my best friend.
Yes.
Right.
It's a great thing to find a partner that wants kids if you want kids. And it's a great thing to find a partner that you know is going to love their kids unconditionally. These are not negative things. What I'm saying is it's a red flag if you are a person that wants a partner who really loves you and sees you as their best friend.
Yeah.
And this is something that does come up quite early on in dating, I find.
Yeah, you can pick that up.
Yeah, actually. It was quite evident with all of the people that I'm kind of thinking of.
I would even take it a step further because it's not just about kids. Some people just want to be in a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship. And so I'm going to piggyback off your your red flag of some people just want to have kids for the sake of having kids and they don't think about the person they want to have the kid with. I think it applies to both men and women. Men would probably agree with us as well as one this being absolutely. One of their red flags.
Because absolutely.
There are a lot of women out there
yeah.
who do the same thing. They look at a guy and they're like, yeah. you know what? I just want to be in a relationship. At this point, they don't even care about all the characteristics and the behavior and all the stuff. They just, it's a human body.
It's the idea of a relationship.
It's the idea of it. Regardless of whether it's the right relationship or not, they still stay. What else? Ooh, I have one. They think things such as herbal medicine or essential oils cure everything, and they don't believe in science. Now, I'm going to put a little bracket there. Without doing the research.
Right.
So, I had firsthand experience with this, where someone had a medical issue, mm-hmm. and I asked them, what are you taking for your problem?
Was it crystals?
And it was essentially this like herbal thing. And I was like, what? Like, what's the research behind this? And their response to me was, oh, I don't know. They said it would work. So I took it.
Oh, no.
Red flag.
See, I take it a step further. I like doing research regardless, even with science. And my doctor actually encourages this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she'll tell me, she's like,
do your own research.
Yeah, like here's something I suggest, but there may be something better out there for this.
Yeah.
If it's not something she has to prescribe, yeah. she encourages me gaining my own knowledge about
yeah.
people suffering from the same issues. It's fair to talk about because actually just last night, I was doing some research on probiotics
mm-hmm.
and I'm down this road now yeah. again. And I actually didn't realize because I had been trying out different probiotics that were backed by science and research. Mm-hmm. Then I happened upon this company. I won't say the name, but it's one of the ones that a lot of influencers push.
Oh, okay.
But it's not that tea stuff. Yeah, it's not yeah. that crap. It's much better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they've developed a probiotic that's based off of like certain strains.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that these strains, they attack the microbiome of mm-hmm. your gut system much more effectively than the regular pills.
Okay.
But then I started to read reviews about that company.
Right.
And a lot of people started to say that taking strains of bacteria is very dangerous in general.
Yes.
And people don't take something as simple as probiotics as serious as they should. You're ingesting strains of bacteria and you're messing with your system with the hope of doing something good, but you're still, you know, injecting strains of bacteria. And so people were saying a lot of bad things about just the pills in general.
Right.
And I had actually never even thought of probiotics like this at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me realize that I needed to do even more research than I had been doing instead of just going with this women's health branded one.
Right.
That all these people on Amazon were rating high. But then I was like, I never even thought about it. The fact that it's strains of bacteria that you're putting in your system.
Right. So let me just take this conversation we just had. Something as simple as your gut health, but your gut health that not necessarily your doctor has told you to take, or you just feel like you want to improve your gut health, and look at how much time you've invested into looking what it is, into doing research, thinking about it, critically thinking about it, analyzing different things, really looking at the ingredients. That to me, it says so much about the way you think, mm-hmm. right? And so when someone comes to me and says, I have an issue and I'm taking this medicine, and I say, oh, okay, like what does it do? And your response is, I don't know. A friend of my, someone I know who is a herbal doctor just gave it to the person I know and I'm taking it now. And I'm like, well, what does it have side effects? Does it have, what are like, what? My brain needs to know more. I need to know more. And especially when it's a serious medical condition.
Yeah.
I'm not against herbal medicine.
Yeah, me either. Me either.
I'm
yeah.
not against holistic. Clearly,
I'm looking up seeds. Yeah, of-
I'm not against holistic medicine by yeah. any means. However, I am against not doing your research, not knowing what you're putting in your body, whether it's organic, whether it's science, whatever it is. It's important for me to be with someone who is aware and is willing to ask questions of what's happening to their body and what they're taking. And it says so much about them as a person.
Yeah, there's a fine line between people who are able to think critically.
Yeah.
And people who
are naive or ignorant. The red flag isn't about holistic medicine or science. And it's not about that. It's about what is the deeper issue, which they're not, as you just said, they're not critical thinkers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one was a big one. Only because I just experienced it recently. Do you have any other ones?
I've got one last one.
Okay, tell us.
Okay, if they're a person that refuses to jump on trendy things just because they're trends.
Oh, stubborn.
Like, stop.
Just stop.
Just buy the Crocs.
Just give in.
Like, just like, wear your socks up to a reasonable level. Like, join Gen Z. Like, stop.
Just give in. Just give in.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? They're usually the miserable people.
Yes.
They just follow in their own misery. They're judgy and they're, just give in. It's fun. It's good. Just do it. Just do it.
It's popular for a reason.
Yeah.
Join the popular girls.
You're not better because you're not on the track. Like, it doesn't make you better.
I own a teeny D. Shut up.
Oh, those people.
Oh, the book was better. Oh, F-off.
So true.
It's a different medium. Like, at least acknowledge that. Something on TV is different.
Or have you ever dated someone who's like, I don't watch trash TV?
Oh, stop.
I can't even be your friend. Forget dating. I can't be your friend.
What are we going to talk about?
You are just not in my, you're not, you don't get it. Because sometimes I need it.
Yeah.
I need trash TV. Yeah.
If you're going to be set in your ways and ignore trends and ignore modern society, then you're ignoring human evolution. That's the reality. Like it or not, people are becoming this way.
I don't think you necessarily have to conform into the trends, but I think what you said is it's the way they do it, right? It's the way they're judgy, the way they talk about it. And the reason for me that would be a red flag, and like, I'm interested to know why that was your red flag. For me, it says a lot about how they're going to behave in the relationship when we don't see eye to eye. If let's say one day I am watching The Bachelor, and he comes home, is he gonna like put me down or be condescending or have a go at me or, you know, just make me feel crappy or unworthy or not smart enough?
For me, it's just about being stubborn for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly to your point, it speaks to how they're going to be in other areas of the relationship.
Yeah.
Probably the guy who doesn't want to make sushi with me also is putting his nose up in the air about, you know, going to the Eras tour. Yeah. It's okay to not like things.
Just wallow in your misery. Wallow in your misery and let me wear my Adidas Sambas. Okay? Just let me be a basic bee.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye. I got one for you. This is my last one that I can think of right now. When they say, I'm not like other guys or I'm not like other girls.
Why do they need to say that?
You are.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you say that sentence, you are. You are like every single one. Especially when they say early on.
Yeah.
I'm like no one you've ever met.
Yeah.
Do you want to bet?
I'm trying to think of the times that I ever said that to anyone. It would have had to have been when I was very young and immature. And I was really trying to like prove myself to people.
So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe these folks are just super insecure and they have to go out of their way to let you know they're different.
Yeah.
But like, okay, maybe that's not a red flag. Maybe that's more of an ick. Because when I hear that, I'm just instantly turned off.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that one just on a personal level, a step further, I didn't have a guy come out and say that, but I did have a guy bashed my ex.
Right.
And basically said, oh, I can't believe he did these things to you. And this is actually a line in a Taylor Swift song. He says, Mr. Steal your girl, then make her cry. I think about that line every time I think about this guy who fully bashed my ex. And I'm like, you should. He was a dick to me.
I'm not like them.
I remember specifically this one moment where I was showing him all these dresses that I had bought that I never had the opportunity to wear because my ex never took me out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that is so awful. Like, I can't believe he did that to you. And he made me look forward to future dates with him. And then he just never left. Took
you out. But he never took you out
either. Never took me out and just straight up left. So anyways, kind of goes hand in hand with that.
It is. No, it is exactly that. Generally, guys or girls who the first, very quickly they say, I'm not like a guy you've met or I'm not like a girl you met. They end up showing with their actions that that's exactly who they are.
Mr. Steal your girl, then make her cry. Oh, that one hits hard.
That one hits. Well, there you go. This is our Red Flag 2.0 edition.
This was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Right. Now we can just be depressed.
Yeah.
All of the stuff we talked about is because we've had firsthand experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just think about that one for a second.
All those guys on the 14th floor is a blow.
So good.
Did we solve the world's problems?
Hell no.
All right. Over and out.